what is the Surim Ba'ava? What is the Surim all about? And we said a very important Nakuda, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us not to feel the pain. He wants us to feel the pain. But he wants us to recognize that pain's good for us, and that nothing's being wasted here. And that for whatever reason we're having the suffering, one of the two of the three reasons why suffering comes into the world, we have to recognize that and accept it for Ava. So here's a very important klal. It really links two of the animamins together. And that is the Imunin Tches HaMeisim and the Imunah of that everything comes from Hashem. That's what Tches HaMeisim has to do with anything. Yeah? So something we usually meet Yaches to that much. Imunah that there'll be Tches HaMeisim. You know what? Right now, okay, there'll be Tches HaMeisim. When it comes, I'm happy to believe that there'll be Tches HaMeisim. Why by ya? Who doesn't believe there'll be Tches HaMeisim? So there'll be Tches HaMeisim. So there won't be Tches HaMeisim. What's the big deal? Right now, you know, does it affect me? Do I have to think about it? No. That I've got to think, that affects me now, right? When my bank manager calls me, I've got to think, this is Hashem. Don't worry, calm down, everything's going to be okay. I've got to work with that animamin all the time. That the Torah will never be changed. I've got to struggle with that. That Moshe Rabbeinu is the only Navi. Yeah, fine, good. That I'm grappling with all the time. But that there'll be Tchis Amesim? Fine, so let there be Tchis Amesim. So let there not be Tchis Amesim. God will do what he wants. There'll be a meteor shower, there won't be a meteor shower. Does it affect my life? No, vice versa. I believe there'll be a meteor shower tomorrow. I'll be in Tchis Amesim. Which idiot wouldn't believe in Tchis Amesim? You're going to lose your whole life if you don't believe in Tchis Amesim. I believe! What's the problem? They see that if you're not, one second, if you're not believing in Tchis Amesim now, you're in serious trouble. Not in the future. We'll see now. Yeah?
You're saying that we should feel the suffering in the
Haftarah. Of course, I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you what we learned the last time we met. That of course Baruch Hu wants us to feel the pain. He doesn't want you not to feel the pain. Go get the headache. You understand? The headache's coming from Hashem. Okay, because Baruch Hu wants to give him a headache. The suffering is important and he needs it. So he feels terribly guilty because he's a big Baal B'tochen and he shouldn't be feeling the pain. We're saying that's not the point. The point is you're supposed to feel the pain, but recognize that this pain is a kiss from Hashem. If Hashem didn't want you to have the pain, he wouldn't have given you the pain to start with. Oh, you don't take painkillers? Of course you don't take painkillers, but no, why are you taking painkillers? Yeah, it's also to take a painkiller. You're messing up your din in Shemayim. So the truth is, yeah, it could be that it's also to take painkillers, except the Torah says it's mutter to... whether it's mutter to or you have a chiyuv to seek medical help. You have to make some medical ishtadlis, whether that's a chiyuv or it's a shus. Today, pastor, it's a chiyuv. Yeah.
It's interesting because if you're always looking like at the good around everywhere, then you won't even notice your headache.
So we're saying that's not true. In Achim, that's not true.
Okay.
I mean, you're such a people talking. You have no suffering.
Not me.
No, I'm saying I'm not mean you. No, they're suffering. It's just I'm able to deal with the suffering because I understand it's positioned properly. I can still be the simcha in the face of suffering. That's the nakuda. There's no stira between pain and simcha. That's the nakuda. But you're at such a high level that you don't feel pain, that's called numb. We're supposed to feel pain. And not just our pain, we're supposed to feel everyone else's pain. Menachem Obel. You know what I mean, Menachem Obel? Someone who's supposed to sit there and feel the pain, the devastating pain of this mother that just lost a child, Rahman al-Islam. You're supposed to feel that pain. No, I'm a big Baal B'tochen, and I don't feel pain. Then you're missing something, and you're not alive. Yeah. The Sabbath is supposed to feel the enormous simcha when you go to this bris of this newborn baby, an incredible simcha, yeah? So the same way, you have to feel the incredible pain when a holot and limbe is supposed to feel the pain. It's how we relate to that pain. That's the issue. That the pain's there. You know, we touched on a little bit the ishtadlus person has to make for refuah. Yeah, okay. It's in the world of refuah. But in Achinami, that always bothered me. So why am I taking painkillers? It's the same question we have. No, it's the same kasha you have. We don't think like this. We really don't think like this. You're walking down the road. Let me just ask you the following question. Simple philosophy 101, yeah? The question was asked in a Kiruv training program the other day. You're walking down the road. and you see one of your friends drowning in the river. He's drowning in the river, and you can swim. We're not talking about where you have to risk your life to save him. No risk for you. You're an Olympic swimmer, whatever. Yeah. Would you think twice about jumping in the river and saving him? Would anybody here say, hold on a second, I've got to phone Oscar Schiele, it's Mutter. Anybody here got a problem with jumping in the river and saving your friend? So why does the Torah have to tell me that I have a chiyuv to do this? So samro dam reacho. What says, you see your friend driving in the river, the Torah says you have a chiyuv, you have to go drag him out the river. What would I think without that? That's a cheap answer. What would I think had the Torah told me? What would the Torah have told me? What would the... No, it's not a good answer. What would the Torah... I'll show you now what a good answer is. What would the Torah have told... What would I have thought had the Torah not told me?
He deserves to drown.
Who are you interfering in Hashem's world? Hashem's busy drowning somebody. Hashem knows what he's doing, right? So who are you to go play with Hashem's world? You see somebody sick. Yeah? Somebody sick. Who told you to go and heal the person? Who told you to make some ishtadus to heal the person? Hashem will heal him or not. And we know that even post the ishtadlis, if this guy drowns or not, it has nothing to do with you. Once the Torah says, Losam l'dam re'echo, yeah, if you jump into that river and the guy drowns, you're not chayv, because you're drowning and trying to save him. And if you hadn't jumped into the river, yeah, you would have got saved even if you're not meant to die. There's nothing your jumping in the river is going to change you, right? But the halacha is, if you don't jump into the river to save him, you're a murderer. Even if I had jumped in, he would have drowned. It doesn't matter. Hashem says, why didn't you save this guy? But I couldn't! Doesn't matter. Why didn't you save him? And that's in the kudu. We have to understand properly. But our thinking is exactly the opposite. You see a guy drowning, of course you save him. Of course you save him. Well, ma-ba-ba-ba-ya. That's a poshut. The Torah says, I'm drowning someone in the river. Please leave him alone. Don't involve in my world. You want to say the Torah gives us that mitzvah in order to get schar? Could be. Could be.
Getting dressed in the morning. No, we have to get dressed anyway.
The Torah doesn't tell you to get dressed in the morning. Right. So why does the Torah tell me to get dressed in the morning? I would have got schar. I mean, there's lots of things you can answer that way. That's why I said it's a cheap answer. I didn't say it's a bad answer. I said it's a cheap answer. It's like, change the gear, sir. You know, it's like you're learning tomorrow, you don't understand the rush. It's a change the gear, sir. It could be your right, but that's not the way we go. That's not our first approach. First approach is trying to work it out. Okay. Weiter. That's what the Torah says. You're up. You have to... You have a chiyuv to heal. You don't have a chiyuv. It's a rishus. Why do I need a rishus? If someone's sick, of course you have to do your best to heal him. Well, who says? That's just because we're well trained in the Western world. You know, it's like if you get sick, you go to the doctor, because doctors also have to make a living. Yeah, more people die from doctors than from hospitals are probably the biggest cause of disease. Than seriously, I mean, the medical world out there is not exactly kosher v'yosh. You have to be careful what you do with your doctor. You've got to be careful. Most doctors say, I don't know anything about doctors. I don't know anything about medicine. Somehow there's a fear. If you go to a doctor today, you have to go to the best possible doctor you can find, because anything below the best, most of them don't know what they're talking about.
My husband's...
you bring him an example of bad doctors. Okay, not that.
When they kill the first person, they get told, you're first person. Okay, now...
You can write books. You saw Robertson Sorotkin told the big professor what she thought of him, yeah? Fine? Okay.
What was that?
It's a whole long story. She just basically told him, she said, if my operation works, don't think it's got anything to do. No, she said, if the operation doesn't succeed and I die, I just don't want you to feel bad, and I want you to know that it's got nothing to do, it's all from Hashem. So the doctor was like, take it away. He's like choking, like, wow, that's amazing, that's the only thing you think about my feelings. She said, yeah, but I want you to know that something as well. That if the operation isn't a success, I want you to know it's got nothing to do with you either, it's all from Hashem also. So they asked her, why did you have to choose the best doctor? They went to a lot of hassle to get this best doctor to operate on her. So the son said afterwards, if it's all up to Hashem, why do we have to find this big professor and pull all favors? It was a whole tircha together to get this doctor. She said, if I'm going to give Musa, at least send me to the best doctor. Anyway, I'm getting an opportunity to make a doctor, cut a doctor down to size, let me see the best doctor. Okay. Everything we set up to now is only shaykh to a Jew, is only talking about a Jew who believes in the Emunah Shleima and a thing called Tchias HaMaisim. What to do with anything? Only when a person understands that our life in this world is temporary. And Uber, sorry, Kachai Uber, Hanosin B'mai Imoy, that our life in this world is like a fetus in his mother's tummy. You're not going to stay there forever, you're eventually going to move on to another place. V'hoylech U'metaptach Likras Rega Haleidim Likras Biyotel Oilom, and he's living and going with an expectation for the moment that he's going to be born and come into this world. Our stepping out of this world into the next world is like a fetus stepping out of his mother's womb into this world. That's what we're waiting for. We're waiting to be born out of this world into the real world. Sorry. I left that line. We're living for that life that's going to take place after Tchias HaMeisim, where we'll be born Bezrat Hashem into a new world. A Jew that understands that he's not living for this world, that he's living for a world that exists after Tchias HaMeisim, he can withstand all the suffering and everything that he understands that he goes through. Yeah, because there's a purpose to it. He understands that the world, yeah, this is not the real world. This is a training station. This is a preparation station, the entrance hall to eternal existence. He understands and he recognizes that everything that he undergoes in this world is all part of the preparation and the hachana, hekshirosei, what's the word? Preparation for his eternal existence. It's dafka the yisuri that prepare him and enable him to go on this journey and come to his final destination, which is eternity. He understands that these Yisurim are not distancing him from Hashem. And other Rabbi, on the contrary, this is an incredible opportunity to get close to Hashem with incredible love. You shall know in your heart, there's a pasuk in Dvarim, it's Chumash. He's like in the same way that a father, like a man, chastises his son. So too Hashem chastises you. I mean, it's with the love of a father for a son. The love that the father has for a son. And the state sometimes he has to inflict pain on the son in order to get the son to achieve what he's yet to achieve. So the goodness of the son. So too a Kosh Boch who chastises us. Sipati Liel, Shirimi Shitchir, Yalda Abba Yeladim Tachas HaKibush HaGermani. I mentioned above, he says in the Sefer, that my mother gave birth to four children during the Nazi occupation of Hungary. In the time when we were running from place to place to place, hiding in bunkers and in little cracks and in little living like rats, hiding away from the Nazis. Shalim la'achem ikayim, shalti es imi eich haya lechem es ha-koyach ves ha-tatsum es ha-lef z'leidus oid iladim. Afterwards, many years later, I asked my mother, where did you get the koyach, the chutzpah? Now, he's not saying that, I'm saying that, but better chutzpah, to give birth to four children living like that. And push it, running around, you know where you're going to sleep tonight, running around, eating scraps of food, hiding out, going in bunkers, whatever. Where did you get the goal to bring four children to the world? Who's thinking of having children in the middle of Auschwitz? But at Pacha, they were in Auschwitz, they were in Hungary, hiding away. Eventually she got caught and she was sent to Auschwitz. She gave birth to a fourth child or the fifth child. It was the fourth child, I think, she gave birth to in Auschwitz. That child didn't survive, but the others all survived the war. But that child actually gave birth to her, because had she not been pregnant when she arrived in Auschwitz, she wouldn't have survived. They would have killed her on the spot. But because she was pregnant, Mengele was waiting to do experiments on pregnant women, So they schlepped her off to the infirmary. She gave birth and she went and hid away. And she hid in Auschwitz. No one knew, because they were going to kill her straight after. They didn't even hear anything. So she said, that child gave birth to me. Had I not been pregnant, I wouldn't have survived the war. So clear. I mean, we don't have a mussag of how you think like that either. But anyway, the kashiya asked to the woman is, how do you go and have any children? They're a little of Nazi occupation. You had the fear of death was with you all the time. Did you have any musag, any trust that you would survive? My mother answered me in her wisdom. Listen to this terrace. Yehudim anachnu, we're Jewish. Ma'aminim anu b'tchias hamaisim, and we believe in tchias hamaisim, one of the 13 principles of faith. Anu lo mafsidim yeladim, we don't lose children. Yeled shalcha hu shalcha lenetzach, your child is your child forever. For Hashem ibanu, kashe yudi makir es ha'emes, and if you understand the truth, who may have been kikol chayav kan enu ela achonav akshara l'chayim acherim tzchim, you understand that everything he's doing here is just a preparation, and a preparation, achonav, for an eternal life. Rak Hashem yisbarach yedei b'biru ma tov avuru. And Hashem really knows what's good for us, we know what's good for us. Ma machshir oto, ma meichin oisei likras oisei chayim mitzchim. And Hashem knows what prepares us and gets us ready for that eternal existence. Therefore, to that extent, he makabels with love everything that Hashem brings upon him. Because he understands that everything is happening for my eternal benefit. Via that, he goes and gets closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Peladic way of thinking, eh? Sure. It requires a little bit of realigning one's brain. To be focused on, to be in Auschwitz, to be mamash surrounded by the Nazis, to be risking your life for every moment of your life, whether you're going to survive or not, and continue to have children because I'm living for Tchias HaMeisim, that's quite a major statement. I mean, that's a big one, you know. I can kind of like tolerate the fact that there wasn't milk, you know, the coffee went a bit low yesterday, because I can understand I went to get coffee and there wasn't, so I'm not living for this world, yeah. But you don't bring children to the world in the middle of the Holocaust, and like, that sounds dark. Unbelievable.
Isn't there
there's a surim about it as well, yeah.
Isn't there a mitzvah?